Well, greetings and salutations, one and all. Back again is the Super View Show's Mixed Bag, coming to you once again from many caves. As always, I am joined by some of the esteemed panel of panelists here at the Super View Show. I am joined by my good man, Bill Murphy.
How you doing, folks? What's going on? Yeah, got the Yankee game on. This game's going to give me a stroke tonight.
Yeah, we're in the second wildcard game, and things are looking somewhat hopeful at best. Yeah. Justin, how are you doing tonight?
What he said.
Yeah. Literally. No, but as the title of our podcast just alludes to whatever, Bill, what is our topic again for tonight?
Well, since today is October 1st, it's officially the start of spooky season.
Yes, it's October now.
And we are bringing back an old classic. It's Mixed Bag of Horrors.
Yes, we're back to Mixed Bag of Horrors here at the Super Show.
Yeah, we didn't do it last year because we were on our road to 200.
Yeah, a long time ago.
So we didn't do it last year, except we did our Halloween special. But for those who don't know, our Mixed Bag of Horrors, every show in the month of October, we're going to bring you a Halloween horror-themed show. And today's topic, you know, it's time to answer an age-old question in the world of movies. What's more scarier, what you see or what you hear?
Yep.
So today... Wait, who's playing the music?
Keep going. You're good. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Okay. So today, our show is our top five horror movie scores.
Yes. So a film score from a horror movie that we enjoy the most. Not the soundtrack, but the score.
And... And tonight you're going to hear some you know, some you might not know, some you agree with, some you might not agree with. And if you don't agree with us, Justin, please go tell these fine people where we live. Oh, God, he's ready to type in our address. Okay, so...
Sure is.
Shall we get down to business?
Let's get to it, shall we, kids? Here we go. So who wants to go first with their number five? And then we'll go work our way back up to one. Do you want me to go first?
Anybody have any honorable mentions?
Oh, yes. And do any honorable mentions? Justin, do you have an honorable mention or no?
Honorable mention to The Lost Boys. And the only reason why it's not on the list is because it's all soundtrack, no score.
Oh, okay.
My honorable mention is, okay, this is controversial. I'm putting Halloween in my honorable mention.
Okay, that's fine.
Mainly, okay, while it does have a very, like, unsettling feeling,
yeah.
To be honest with you, I kind of feel like it's kind of overrated.
Yeah.
Like, the movie itself is okay, and hold on! Okay. Hopefully that moves the runner over. Anyway, and it doesn't. But anyway, yeah, so my number five is Halloween theme. And it has the, you know, the do-do-do-do-do-do. It kind of gives you that very fast, unsettling feeling. So that's my honorable mention, Halloween.
Yep. Justin, you said you did not, right?
I already gave mine.
Oh, duh. Sorry about that. We're off to a great start, everyone. I do not have any honorable mentions, but I...
JT so, and his memory of an elephant, everybody.
Yes, my memory is smaller than an elephant's brain. Don't worry. We're doing great, everyone. Happy Halloween. October. My birthday month, too. Yippee! don't worry. So, anyways, I digress. Let's talk about... So, when you really think about Halloween scores or horror movie scores in general, one of the first ones that comes to mind personally for me. So, my number five is, believe it or not, is actually the Halloween score itself from 1978. it is, it's very iconic. It has a lot of up to it and a lot of, not up, what's the best way to describe it? It's very a sinister theme. It really does show like the epitome of horror at its finest. But it's one thing to see Halloween, and it's another thing to hear Halloween. And hearing this score is very, very, very powerful. And I love it. It's one of my favorite scores of any horror movie in general. So my number five is Halloween from 1978.
Hey. Yeah. Back to Professor Favaro.
Yes, Justin, talk to me. Number five.
My number five is actually a movie we don't really talk about on this channel often. And that is a movie called Trick or Treat.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Go on.
So it's an anthology movie, and it has this very... It has camp and creep factor both intertwined with a little bit of church bells going. It's unsettling, but at the same time kind of campy, because it also has that sort of sing-songiness to it, because, you know, it's going trick or treat, trick or treat. So I just find it very creepy in that regard, but you know, not overly so, where you, it makes you feel like you want to hide behind the popcorn the entire time.
All right, so Trick or Treat is Justin's number five. Bill Murphy, your number five, and then we'll go back to my number four.
My number five is, instead of something like terrifying, I'm going to start with something a little more fun. And that is the Beetlejuice score.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that.
Because my boy Danny Elfman.
Yep.
Because in the beginning of it, you hear the Deo, we say Deo. And then you hear the choir singing in a minor key. Daylight come and we won't go home. And then dun 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 dun. You hear that fun kind of creepy but yet kind of campy. That kind of campiness in it.
Mm.
Which I think makes this score, I know we're supposed to talk about scores that scare the crap out of us, but this score actually makes me... This score is actually kind of enjoyable. And it also has the, it also has like this tango-y type feeling, which I kind of find amusing. Mm. So it's just a fun score for a fun movie. And, cool. And yeah, like I said, it's not like the other ones, which we will be talking about soon, I promise. But no, my number five is the Beetlejuice theme.
All right. Now we're up to number four, right? Number four. Here we go.
Yep.
My number four is actually a score that some might not consider it a score. This movie, some people might think this movie isn't really a horror movie, but when you really think about it, it kind of is, because in space, no one can hear you scream.
Alien.
The Alien score, like especially during like the end of the movie, is terrifying. Like the actual score that Jerry Goldsmith did was really, really terrifying. Especially when they were first discovering the alien, and then when they were after they discovered the alien, they had like the chest burster. Like, it was the scene before the chest burster scene when they were on the planet. And they finally got the alien implanted in the guy. And then the ending of the movie, the score is phenomenal. Just the composition of that score is really, really solid. And I love it a lot. And it's funny, this is actually a movie that Bill and I saw together. Bill saw it for the first time ever, too.
Yeah, for the first time last year, we watched it together.
Yes, we did. And you liked it, right? You enjoyed it.
I did. I'm not really a big horror movie guy, but I really did enjoy watching it.
Yeah, I'm not either. But this is one of the few ones that I could actually tolerate and watch. Like with the, like even Alien Romulus, which was just that came out last year too. That's a really great movie too. But the Alien franchise, the score was very, very, very solid. That's my number four is Alien. Justin, let's go over to you. Number four for your horror Halloween scary theme songs.
So my number four will have to be, and this one is kind of cheating because you could make the argument that this is soundtrack, but this is this is a hard one because some have actually argued that this movie is actually a musical. But it is such a haunting song. And it's called I Lied to You. It's by Miles Kate. It's sung by Miles Caton. It's from the movie Sinners.
Oh, the one that just
came out? Okay.
Yeah. Have either of you seen the movie yet?
Not yet. I'm on it though.
So in the middle of the movie, the movie takes place at a juke joint. And the preacher's son is playing his guitar. And he has this voice that can just bring together all the generations of music into one room at once. And let me tell you something. It is the most haunting, most beautiful, most mesmerizing 4 minutes of music I have seen in a movie in so long.
Wow. Cool.
And I got to see that in IMAX.
You got to hear it in IMAX too.
And hear it in IMAX. Well, yeah. Both of them. Both. It was an audiovisual trip.
Wow. Sounds like it, bud.
And only fitting that it was in a vampire movie.
Of course. So, alrighty, Bill, let's go over to your number four.
Okay, my number four is The Shining.
Oh.
Because I think what's so good about this, what is so good about this score is the score is very, it's slow and eerie. And it has the buildup. Like, yeah. The opening is the doon, 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 doon. And it's the, and the rest of that score is just so slow and eerie and makes you scared of the buildup. Like, and that opening is actually, it's actually from something called the Dies Irae. Which is from the Catholic Requiem or Funeral Mass. Dies Irae is Latin for the Day of Judgment. So usually when you hear that, doom, 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 in any movie soundtrack, that is usually to simplify death. That's usually used to signify death is coming, because the Dies Irae from the Requiem Mass is the Day of Judgment is here. And yeah, but the music itself is just chilling. It is absolutely chilling, and it's just what you would expect in a Kubrick movie. So that is my number four, The Shining.
All right, we're jumping over to number three already. How about that?
Yeah, we're breezing through this list.
Yes, absolutely. My number three is when you think about sci-fi and you think about horror movies, there's not too many of them. I just said Alien, which is an obvious one. But the other one that actually really I really do like a lot is the first Terminator movie by Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator from the Terminator 1. Because that movie score was specifically like it's so ominous, it's so dark, and it's very futuristic. It's a really
so 80s.
Very 80s, but it's very sinister, like horror at the same time, you know? Like it's a really like it terrorizing sci-fi theme. Like, but it's also horror because, like, let's face it, this machine, for those who don't know, the Terminator is about a movie where a machine is sent back in time to kill the mother of an owner, of the leader of the resistance in the future. It's very sci-fi, but I would make the argument, like I've said this before, I'll say it again, that the Terminator is horror sci-fi, not just sci-fi horror. Because it's about a machine that cannot be stopped, that cannot be bargained with or reasoned with, and it's sent back in time to kill you, and you can't stop it. That's pretty damn terrifying. So,
all right, stand down, soldier.
Yes, sir. Aye, aye, Captain.
It is terrifying.
It is. But yeah, so my number three is the Terminator theme from 1984. Justin, over to you. What do you got for your number two already? Oh, my God.
Three.
Yes,
fast, but not that fast.
My elephant brain is kicking up. Anyways, three, what do you got?
My number three is actually Bill's number four, which is The Shining. Uh-huh. I did not know all of that about the Mass, the Requiem Mass. I do know that Kubrick crafted a slow, simplistic, cold, calculated score to fit his cold, calculated, slow movie. And I don't use those words as insults. I use that to say this is a meticulous movie with a meticulous score, and it fits perfectly. That's all I really got.
All righty. Bill, number three, what do you got, bud?
My number three is Psycho.
Great pick.
And I was telling JT and Justin, I don't know if I told you this, back in June, I watched this movie for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Yes, he did tell me this.
And I'm not just talking about the shower scene. I'm talking about the whole do-do-do-do-do-do. It just gives you that real... The whole score just gives you that real thriller. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It
gives you that real thriller.
Goosebumps.
And also that, you know, and also... thriller, suspense. It also gives you the thriller, suspense, and everything. Of course, the famous do 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 do.
Yeah, that's a very iconic one. Yep.
Which is in the shower.
Yeah.
Which is in the shower theme. And, you know, people who haven't even seen the movie, they all know what that's from. Or they know the reference.
Of course.
Yeah, it's cultural osmosis.
And the music there, it gives into the bone, it gives into the chills, the suspense, and the music just takes you on a ride.
Yeah.
And that's how I think Hitchcock is really the magic of Hitchcock right there. So my number three is Psycho.
All righty. That's Bill's number three. Let's go over number two now. I will kick things off with number two. With one of my... A movie that... I'm a big fan of this franchise. The first three films and the TV show that came after too. But the first movie, the very first movie is a... If you've never seen Evil Dead, get on it. Because Evil Dead 1 is...
You can stomach it. Let's make that clear.
Yeah, if you can... It is the one of the goriest movies I think ever made, if I'm not mistaken. Like, I kid you not. It is one of the most disgustingly bloodbath films I think I've ever seen.
The original was rated X.
It rated NC-17. I'm not even joking. It was actually rated NC-17.
Really? I didn't know that.
It was above R. So, anyways. Like, even Sting is Sting. Even Stephen King.
Even Sting was in The Police. I know.
He sure was, but.
Three things that are certain in life. Death, taxes, and say it with me,
Sting folks. Was in The Police.
Sting was in The Police.
But that's an inside joke with us. But even Stephen King himself, it says it on the posters, the most ferociously original horror film of the year. Evil Dead, man, there's a specific scene that popped into my brain when we were talking about this tonight, which was where you have Ash is getting attacked, and he's like, and it's specifically where like the one of his, because if there's another premise, is five college kids go into a cabin, and the next morning one comes out alive, and that he has to kill each other. It's crazy. But I will say though, Evil Dead. The score in particular, when he's it's gonna sound really graphic, but when the woman, his friend or his girlfriend is scratching his leg till like there's bone showing, the score for that scene is intense as can be. It is so crazy. I cannot believe that I'm even talking about this on the Super Review Show, but it's a really, really intense scene, and it's so much. This is like gore and so much like the score alone is perfect for the scene. It's a very terrifying scene. Very, very scary. But it's something. So, yeah. My number two is The Evil Dead from 1981. That score that was in that movie there. So, anyways, let's go over to Justin. What's your number two?
So, my number two is actually The Thing. Ennio Macchione's The Thing. So iconic is this music that Quentin Tarantino actually ended up reusing the track Eternity for his movie The Hateful Eight.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. But the track that I want to point out in particular, give me one sec.
Take it down.
We'll give you two.
Contamination.
Okay.
Because this track is just skin crawling goosebumps incarnate. It's like those string plucks where it actually feels like there is something crawling underneath your skin. It is just yeah. So yeah.
Number two for Justin is The Hateful Eight.
No, Bill, the thing, the music was in The Hateful Eight.
It was featured in The Hateful Eight, but it is from The Thing.
Sorry, my bad.
Not that thing.
Sorry.
Clobbering time.
It's clobbering time. I saw this movie for the first time recently, too. It was very scary.
Okay. Y'all ready for my number two?
Yeah.
Which some people call the scariest horror movie ever. My number two is The Exorcist.
Yep.
And you know what it is. And like, here's the thing: the famous tubular bells are do 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 do. It's really not all. It's really not all that prominently featured once you think about it. But the music itself, it's very unsettling. Justin, would you agree or disagree?
Oh, totally agree.
Disagree.
Yeah.
Sorry, you cut off there.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
No, it's very unsettling. It gives you the feeling that something very unsettling is going to happen when you hear that. Like, and here's something interesting. Are you ready? The music itself, the track itself, Tubular Bells, was actually released as a single by an artist named Mike Oldfield.
Really?
Yeah, and it was considered like a new wave type music. Like, there was this Time Life collection of new age music from like, if you're in like, what was it, 19, in like the late 80s, early 90s. Time Life used to have this, these commercials when they show their, is Time Life still around, do you think?
They might have rebranded.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, it was in a new wave music commercial, and they would say, drift away to the set, to the timeless pleasure of Tubular Bells. Yeah, you hear that? The timeless pleasure of Tubular Bells.
That's not scary at all.
A movie, you know, a song from a movie about a girl who gets possessed by the devil and throws up pea soup.
Yeah,
that's what I want to drift off to and meditate to. You guys?
Totally.
It's good. It is just absolutely. Yeah, but no, it is bone chilling just because of the unsettling things of, you know, of what's to come. So that's why I put The Exorcist at number two. All right.
Okay.
Wow, this episode's going quick.
Yeah, it sure is.
JT, what's your number one?
Well, my number one, I'm not changing the screen on this one. I have not seen The Exorcist, but I do know the score. And I can honestly tell you, the score alone is terrifying. Bill just touched on it a little bit there. I'm not going to go too in depth with it, but the tubular bells and the piano in there is really, really frightening. It is. I have not seen the movie, but I do know the score, and it is a very, very, very scary theme. It's a scary theme for a very scary, scary movie. So, yeah.
No, people have been. No, because this was a movie that people literally went to the hospital over because they were passing out of it.
Yeah.
Or they were throwing up and everything. It was.
Yeah, it's a scary movie. I have not seen it. I might see it at some point in like the daylight, but still, like that's just me. But
yeah, I think that's good advice. What do you think, Justin? Watch it in the daylight.
Yeah.
It'd be less intimidating.
Don't watch it at night. You will be terrified.
Yeah, no way. So, but my number one is the Tubular Bells from The Exorcist, an iconic score, an iconic theme for an iconic horror masterpiece. Justin, over to you. Number one.
So for me, my number one pick.
Jaws.
Those two notes are synonymous with the hair sticking up in the back of your neck. What John Williams crafted was so simple, yet so effective, that you don't even need the damn shark for it to scare you.
Yeah, just the music alone, seriously.
I would argue that the shark ruins the whole thing. It's the absence of the shark that makes it work so much.
But it's more the buildup.
Yeah, because if you guys recall, when the shark is on screen, there is no music. It is just the action on screen. That is all you hear.
Yep.
No music. Well, actually, nope. Once it's just Brody, I think they do kick on the music again. Yeah, they do. Okay, but anyway, it's just the combined effect of not seeing the shark and the masterful score that just makes your spine tingle. And the rest of the music in the movie is actually pretty happy, so.
That is true.
Yeah. So, all right. And Bill, you're number one.
Guess what, Justin?
Did we swipe right?
We swiped right. Sorry, Sam. Yeah, we swiped right. My number one is Jaws as well. And the same reasons is pretty much what Justin said, is because the music itself, it's timeless. It's iconic. It's when you hear the dum 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 dum, you know what that is. And you know what? And this answers a very, and this is the one that really answers that serious question. Dude, what's scarier, what you see or what you hear?
Yeah. Iconic. Two notes.
And it's just that when you hear that music, you know it's coming. You know the shark is coming. And when you said that actually the shark is the least scary part, look at what happens in the first... Look what happens in the first scene when the shark eats that young girl. We don't see him, but guess what we hear? Dun dun. Dun 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 dun. Like, and we don't see the shark. We just see the girl getting pulled down. And I think like that makes it the scariest part, when we don't see the shark, but when we just hear the music. And you know, with Jaws, it wasn't a new thing. What's scarier, what we see or what we hear? You know. Because I would say that concept even went back to Psycho. What do you think, guys?
A little bit with Norman Bates' mom.
Yeah, I would say that concept even went back to Psycho, but I think Jaws was the one that really perfected that concept. That sometimes what we hear is scarier than what we see. And that's why I have Jaws as my number one horror movie score.
Sounds good. Well, we did good tonight, guys.
Well, that was a quickie.
It was. It was just under 35 minutes. So,
well, in the words of Vinny's favorite band,
yes,
Imagine Dragons, there's nothing left to say now.
Yes, sir. We want to thank you for watching, listening, however you enjoy tonight. Thanks so much for tuning to our podcast. As always, I want to thank the two gentlemen for doing this podcast with me, Bill and Justin. Your knowledge goes unmatched. Thank you so much. And Bill, you have a sports thing going
on. Sports Insanity podcast on the Sports Insanity Network. Check us out. We're on all platforms. Thursday night, Gridiron. Tomorrow night, And we'll be giving you a Bombers Banter, which is our Yankee podcast. If the series ends tonight, you'll see Reg and I tonight. If the series ends tomorrow, you'll see us either tomorrow or Friday.
Perfect. And so, Chuck is working on his progress podcast, too.
Wait, what?
That was a joke. Anyways, sorry, Bill. Go ahead.
Yeah, so check us all out, the Sports Insanity podcast on the Sports Insanity Network.
Yes, sir. Didn't mean to cut you off there. Sorry about that. But thank you for watching us. However you enjoy us tonight. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram simply at the Superview Show. And don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube. We do the show live every Wednesday night here at EST. But for all of us here at the Superview Show, please out there, stay safe.
Take care.
And
be awesome.
Be awesome.